5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. You want to get at us today on the First Advantage text line? You can do so. 888-530-0043. It's a border war weekend, and we'll be talking a lot about Colorado State and Wyoming. We're going to have Kyle Bell on the program. Kyle Bell, star running back, former star running back for the Rams, good friend of mine. We're going to have him on the show, break this thing down, start looking at CSU Wyoming. We'll get into that side of it. Broncos Cowboys, got a lot to discuss there. Looks like Dak Prescott is going to go. Ugh. And then we got to talk about this, Angel. I mean, of course, this was out of my control. This was 100% Angel pick. I don't control the Thursday night special anymore. The Jets, they scored a lot of points, though. They got 30 points, but the problem was Colts put up 45.
Here is a carry by Hines, bouncing off bodies inside the 20. Foot race. Hines, touchdown. Colts. Here's one to the end zone, wide open, Elijah Moore. Both backs in there, handoff to Taylor. What a start for Taylor. Touchdown, Indianapolis. Here's a little toss for the touchdown to Doyle. 100-plus scrimmage yards in six straight. Lands wide open, touchdown, Danny Pinter. To offense, go to Colts. Wow. Taylor's gone. Jonathan Taylor. Goodbye. Touchdown, Indy.
Jonathan Taylor with 19 carries, 172 yards, two touchdowns. He was averaging 9 yards per carry. Every time he touched the ball, Colts essentially got a first down. Jets had no answer. And it's not like Hines had a bad game. 6 carries for 74 yards. Here's the deal, Angel. When you lose Mike White, right? Proven guy like that, you stand no chance to win.
Brady, we were feeling so good about this game that first quarter.
You were about ready to start your Thursday night special career undefeated. You felt great. And then Mike White goes down. You can't win games without Mike White. We know that.
That touchdown drive he had was, that kid can throw the ball. He's young, but he can throw the ball.
He looked pretty good in that first drive. And then he goes down and we see Josh Johnson come in, who settled down in that game. It just, Jets couldn't stop anybody. Indy scored 21 in the second. That pretty much put him out. However, the Jets almost backdoored that thing. The spread was, what was the spread? Was it 10? They ended up losing by 15. But if you bet on the Colts to cover, you were sweating a little bit. So yeah, that one didn't go so well. Carson Wentz, he was fine. Didn't need to be great, right? He was pretty efficient, though. 22 of 30, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns. But the work was done by these running backs. They ran for 260 yards as a team with 3 touchdowns. As a team, they were averaging 8.7 yards per carry. So the Colts desperately needed that one. They got it. They're now 4-5. That was kind of a game to keep them in the playoffs, right? To keep them in the hunt. So, whew, good for the Colts. Let's get to the big story of the day, shall we? The big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Cleveland Browns are finalizing the process of releasing Odell Beckham Jr. This thing just went south quickly, didn't it? The organization said after careful consideration, internal discussions and conversations with Odell and his representation, we've determined that it is in the best interest of all parties involved that Odell no longer play for the Cleveland Browns. We appreciate all his efforts and contributions while in Cleveland, but we've just reached a point where it's best that we move forward as a team. So, okay, was it really the dad thing? Was that what this was? I mean, we knew he was excused from practice. He was told not to attend Wednesday. Is that really what this is? Is 100% about the video? It's kind of confusing. It's kind of confusing when I look at the situation. Like, is it was it other things leading up to that? Because, I mean, you don't see any of the balls getting traded away because their dad is... Their dad's way worse than Odell's, right? This is a little interesting. But, you know, obviously, I'm sure other things had to happen. You're not releasing him just because the dad's mad, right?
No, I mean, even going into Cleveland, OBJ had some character issues or concerns.
Well, yeah, and he's faded ever, you know, since his Giants days. I mean, we've seen him really have some issues over time. So, I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see if more comes out that there were discussions in the locker room, there were anything like that. Brady, listen to the Three Stooges this morning. It would behoove you all to be nice to Angel. Oh, okay. When I was on with Noco now, I'm sure he has the ability to pull the plug and put in his Christmas playlist at any time. You a big Christmas guy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like Tanner's complaining that people are forgetting about Thanksgiving. You're not forgetting about it. It's just there's not the buildup for it. That's just how it is.
That's fair. You know, everyone's a little different. I like
Tanner is a little different.
Start my Christmas music usually Thanksgiving night. So after dinner, we're all just settled, start the music, and then from then on, it's all 24/7.
Traditionally, that's how I was. But my wife and I, we pulled out the Christmas stuff early last year.
Well,
we wanted
so
to get in the good spirit.
It's so easy to go into it right now.
Oh, yeah. We did. We were like, you know what? It was like a week before Thanksgiving, and we said, we're going to go for it. We're going all in. I mean, we love it.
See, I would put up my Christmas tree with the lights on, but no ornaments or anything like that. And then after Thanksgiving, you make it Christmassy.
Yeah. That's typically what we would do. Like, even that night. Like, Thanksgiving night. That's what I did growing up, anyway. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. What's more important to you, Rams fans, beating Wyoming or qualifying for a bowl game? I ask this because some of you, I think, would rather, if you had to pick between, you know, I'm already getting the, can we choose both? No, that's why it's a poll question. If I'm going to say both, you're all going to say both, right? Any guesses, Angel, as to what's leading in the clubhouse today? Qualifying for a bowl game or beating Wyoming? What's more important to Rams fans?
I'm trying to gauge this because I'm not from Colorado, so I have no idea what this
rivalry
is.
So you don't get this rivalry.
I understand it. They're right, you know, right above us, but I don't
hate each other.
I think I know rivalry games. I grew up in the best rivalry game that there is.
Yeah, this is nothing compared to those. Your rivalry games, yes, are much bigger, but
I would say for CSU this season, I think a win over Wyoming would be pretty big.
60% of the hooligans are saying beating Wyoming. That's more important to you. That's more important than going to a bowl game. So, I mean, if you could work it out somehow and win six games without beating Wyoming, now it's 63%. So, I mean, people do not like Wyoming. They just, and especially in football, it seems like such a bitter rivalry. So we'll talk to Kyle. Like, I want to ask him. I think he only lost to them once and he was hurt that year. And he beat him four other times because I think he redshirted. So I'll ask him, like, is there that genuine hate? They don't like Air Force either, but they hate Wyoming more. They don't like CU. That used to be a rivalry till the Rocky Mountain Showdown pretty much got fractured. And I think they're still going to do a few games, but for the most part, it's not what it used to be every single year. And the Buffs would tell you it's not a rivalry game because they look down at CSU. CSU would have won this year, I think. CSU beats CU if they play. We did that as a poll question, too. So go vote. That's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What's more important to Rams fans? Noob, of course. Here it is. Over, under. How many Den references are we going to get today, Angel? Over, under. What do you put it at? Two? Three?
I say Friday. People are having fun. Let's say four.
Over under for Den references, Angel setting right now at four. Okay. Noob says beating Wyoming is like getting a free lap dance at the Den. It's awesome. There it is. You guys don't even try anymore. You just find ways to get that in. Eastside Chris, CSU alum, beat Wyoming, stop at the Den. I mean, are you guys sitting together right now?
Are they listening to us at the Den right now?
Probably. We
they
have
just
a
have
very,
it on the speakers. There's no music.
Very large listenership that just hangs out at the Den throughout the day. So the over-under's four. We got two in, and it's the first segment of the show. So thank you very much, Hulligans. You know what I'm going to do, Angel? You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm feeling good.
What are you going to do?
We got some Nuggets tickets to give away.
Hey, now.
Nuggets taking on the Miami Heat on the 8th. What is that, a Tuesday?
Monday.
Is that Monday? Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't know. When does the Ball Arena, they're putting it out, you have to have a negative test or a proof of vaccination?
I believe it's November 10th.
Okay, so
this Wednesday, I believe.
So if you want to go to this game, you don't have to worry about that. But in the future, we're going to be giving away a lot of Nuggets tickets. And I'll tell you right now, go like our Facebook page. Go like the Whole Show Facebook page because we're doing it on there a lot. We give a lot of stuff away on that page. I want to give a pair of tickets away. I need your email address. We do it through Ticketmaster. So this one, I don't think the restrictions are up just yet, but I'm feeling good. Hulligans, I'm proud of you. You brought it this week. I'm going to go caller 4 on our First Advantage hotline. I just need your first and last name and an email, and we will send that out. Angel will get that information. We'll send it out to you. Caller number 4 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310, or toll-free 877-353-1310. If you're caller 4, hang on the line. Hang on in there because we're going to take a quick break. Get those Nuggets tickets, a pair of tickets to go see the Nuggets and the Miami Heat on Monday. This is the Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We'll take a short break. We'll have Zach Stevens. We're going to try to get a hold of him anyway. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk Broncos Cowboys. It's the Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is The Hull Show. Powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, our friend Zach Stevens talking Broncos with us from DNVR Broncos. And Zach, let's get right to it, man. Dak Prescott, is he playing? It sounds like he's playing. Is that a go at this point?
Yes, it 100% looks like Dak is playing, which, of course, the Cowboys don't even need Dak to win on the road in Minnesota last week. They did it with Cooper Rush. And now they get a quarterback who's really playing at an MVP-type level back to go along with their incredible rushing attack and a defense that's really improved over the years. So this is about as daunting as it gets, Brady.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you're looking at the Cowboys. This is a team that, boy, for the first time in a while, they feel complete. Like, this defense is good. They got a lot of pieces. You got Zeke rolling again, and you put Dak, you know, healthy on this team, and I mean, the Cowboys are certainly a favorite to win it all. One of them, anyway.
Yeah, without a doubt they are. And for years, you know, people have, in my mind, been overhyping the Cowboys too much. But now, I think they really are the real deal. And Dak healthy. And this running game. I mean, last year everyone thought Zeke was done. They thought his career was over. People were ready to call him a bust after just a couple of years. And he has turned it on this season. Get this, Brady. In their 6 wins, they're averaging 167 rushing yards as a team. The Broncos don't even have one game in which they have 167 rushing yards. In their loss, their one loss at the beginning of the season, that's when they didn't use their running game at all, they only had 60 rushing yards in that game. So just a massive difference on truly what their winning formula is. Yes, they do have Dak. Yes, he's playing incredibly well, but it's their running game that they rely on, and it's the running game that they thrive on.
Yeah, no question about it. You're right. It was a weird thing thinking about Zeke Elliott. You're wondering, okay, is he going to fade? And then so far, so good this year. He's been a man on a mission with 571 yards. And this team's, you know, they get it done. Tony Pollard's good. But Dak, he's playing on that level, right? We saw him last year before he gets hurt. He was putting up record break numbers that were going to destroy records. So we knew once this guy got healthy, Dallas would be pretty dang good.
Yeah, and then when we talk about it from a Broncos perspective, his secondary is banged up. They're not going to have Bryce Callahan. Kyle Fuller or Nate Hairston is going to take over that slot corner spot. So you don't feel as good about the secondary as you did coming into this season. And by the way, Dallas's wide receiver core is deep and really talented, so that's an issue there. And then also the running game. The Broncos have really struggled in run defense, especially during this losing streak. Even last week, it felt like they did really good on the ground against Washington. They still gave up 122 yards on the ground, averaging over 4 yards per carry, the football team did against this team. So right now, it looks like where are the Broncos going to stop them? Because when you view it from a Dallas perspective, you think, okay, the Broncos did have a lot of talent. It looked like this was going to be such a tough test, but now that we're actually up against it, we can run the ball, we can pass the ball, we can do whatever we want. And by the way, we're back home in order to play this game.
Yeah, Zach Stevens joining us now, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. On the Broncos side of things, Zach, it's been a bizarre week. You know, the trading of Von Miller, which has been very emotional. It's getting worse to me, to be honest, Zach. Watching Von, it's like watching him with somebody else, right? Seeing him in the Rams uniform, talking about it. It's actually making it worse. I'm getting more sad by the day. I know when he gets the first sack with the Rams and it's all over SportsCenter, it's going to really make us depressed. But it's been a crazy week. You have George Payton saying we're not in a rebuild, but we kind of are, but we kind of are. I don't know where we are on that. So what do you expect? They're 10-point dogs in this game. It's always crazy to see an NFL team as a 10-point underdog.
It really is. It really is, especially with a team that has this talent. And here's the way the Broncos win this game, or at least keep it within those 10 points, Brady. And is it the players themselves rally around each other and say, you know what, no one outside of this building believes in us. Heck, our own general manager and management doesn't believe in us, even though they say we're still playing for this year. They just traded away the highest paid player, the most successful career player. So they don't believe in us. Let's rally together. And that's how the Broncos stay in this game, Brady. But I just think it's too big of a task. I think it's too much to ask this week. Look, Malik Reed isn't out at practice. You can probably hear I'm just outside the practice field right now. Malik Reed isn't practicing. That's the guy you were relying on the most to replace Von Miller. Now, you still have Jonathan Cooper, Stephen Weatherly, but, I mean, you're really having to stretch in order to get a competitive team this week. And so, Brady, I don't like the way this is going. And this is the first time I'm predicting a Broncos blowout loss this season. I think we're looking at, like, 38-17. Like I said, with the defense, I just don't know what they're going to stop, how they're going to be able to stop the Cowboys' offense. And then we know the offensive struggles. I mean, last week they won the game, but they were only able to put up 17 points against the worst scoring defense in the NFL. So now they play an average scoring defense in the NFL in the Dallas Cowboys. It's not going to get easier from last week.
No, it really isn't. When you look at Dallas, what they do good defensively, yeah, they're pretty good at stopping the run, too. So as much as we're saying, hey, Denver, finally run the ball, maybe this is one where they are relying a little bit on Teddy Bridgewater. But we'll see. I mean, these last few games, even in the Washington game, it hasn't looked nearly close to what we saw in those first three. And then you have to ask yourself, Zach, when is enough enough? When can you stop saying next man up for the Broncos? I know every team goes through injuries, but it just seems like this year specifically, we have just seen injury after injury on that defense.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And now, speaking of injuries, the Broncos will get Sang Bassey and Michael Ojemudia back, but those are guys that haven't played in over a year now. So how much can you really rely on those guys? I mean, when you get healthy, you're still not at full strength because those guys still have a while. Bryce Callahan's going to be out for a while. And like I just said, Malik Reed, the guy that you were really relying on to replace Vaughn, now he may be out. He popped up on the injury report yesterday with a hip injury, so we're going to find out more in about an hour from Vic. But, I mean, this is so tough sledding. Right now, your best defensive player is Pat Surtain, and I think that speaks volumes to Pat Surtain. I think it also speaks volumes to exactly where this defense is now. Justin Simmons, he played the best game of his season last week. They're going to need that again in every single week for him.
Talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider here. And boy, if they can find a way, Zach, if they find a way to do this, which, as you're saying, highly, highly unlikely, and I think we all agree, you got a Broncos team that's right in the thick of it in the AFC West. And they got to, you know, after the Dallas game, the schedule gets a little more interesting, a little more forgiving. So, like it or not, there's a heck of an opportunity right here for the Broncos, but 10-point dogs, and it could get worse than that.
Yeah, but you're right. If they somehow find a way to beat the Cowboys, then you play the Eagles at home. If they beat the Cowboys, you have to imagine they're going to beat the Eagles at home. And then they're going into their bye 6-4, which would just be incredible from where we were just 5 days ago when the Broncos traded Von Miller and everyone's saying rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. That would be a huge turn of events. Pat Shurmur would not be fired. Vic Fangio would not be fired. Teddy Bridgewater would still be the starting quarterback. The narrative would drastically shift. And then you at least see a path for the Broncos to be competitive in December. Maybe they don't make the playoffs because after the bye, you know, you have two games against the Chiefs, two games against the Chargers. One game against the Raiders on the road. The really only easy game here is against the Detroit Lions at home. And, you know, sometimes the Lions are terrible, a.k.a. last week. Sometimes the Lions are okay, a.k.a. 2 weeks ago. So that's not even a gimme game when we're talking about the Broncos. So this Broncos team would at least be competitive if they win and beat the Cowboys this week.
Well, if you're the Cowboys and you're coming in and Dak does play, I mean, you're not wanting to overdo it with Dak. You know they're going to give these running backs just a heavy workload. They're, what, second in the league in rushing yards. So you got to expect that to happen. And, boy, the Broncos, for the last couple of weeks, had a really difficult time stopping the run.
Yeah, they have. And that's exactly what I expect them to do, is just hand the ball off. And like we said, it's not just Zeke. It's Tony Pollard as well. And like I said, they average so many rushing yards per game in their wins, and not even the Broncos can approach that. So it's going to be an extremely difficult task. And Brady, I completely agree with you. I wouldn't want to put too much on Zeke's shoulders this week, especially when you know you can run the ball, and you can run the ball against this Broncos defense.
No question about it. I mean, there's going to be that side of it where you can say, well, at least maybe Dak won't have one of those games because they're easing him back into things. But yeah, they're going to punish you with that run game. Very good at that side of it. And Dallas, like, Zach, when you look at Dallas, who do you put above them right now? They're one of the top teams in the league. They beat the Vikings on the road without Dak. So you have to look at Dallas and say, hey, they're certainly in that top five category.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do, especially in the NFC. When you look at the NFC, I think you put the Rams up there, especially after getting Von Miller. That defense is just going to be disgusting. Of course, Matthew Stafford as well. And you have Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Quite an interesting interview with Aaron today earlier. And then you also have Tampa Bay. And I'm just going to give the nod to Tampa Bay because I'm done betting against Brady. If he's in the NFL, I'm still going to give him the nod. But, I mean, that's a pretty talented and stacked top four there in the NFC.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a great NFC side of it, those top four or five teams. We've talked a lot about, did the Broncos miss by not drafting a quarterback this year? Talking about Pat Surtain. Well, the other guy they did not take that I thought, man, if they take Fields, Surtain, Micah Parsons, I'm going to be happy. Either one of those guys, I'm going to be happy. When you look across the board here, you got Pat Surtain and Micah Parsons' teams going at it this week. Mike has been pretty good for the most part this year. When you look at the body of work, though, for Parsons with Dallas, don't you feel better about the Broncos' selection of Pat Surtain with that first round pick?
Yeah, I really think the Broncos would have been great with either of those guys, both now after injuries to the cornerback position. Both are in very much positions of need for the Broncos. Obviously, the Broncos would have loved a Micah Parsons this year, especially against that Cleveland Browns team, man, when the inside linebackers just couldn't do anything. And Micah Parsons has been really impressive this year. So I think they both would have been really good. But, Brady, the way I view it, is what's more important, a good inside linebacker or a good cornerback? I think it's more difficult to find a good cornerback, and I think that's more of a premium. So personally, I still like the value because I think they're probably pretty similar players in terms of the caliber they're playing to right now. But I like the value that the Broncos got in a shutdown cornerback more than that inside. I guess he's a little hybrid linebacker spot.
Yeah, no, Pat Surtain seems like he's the real deal. And whether they're in a rebuild or a retooling or whatever this is, you know that guy is going to be in the middle of it for the foreseeable future. As for the rest of the AFC West, Zach, you've got Packers, Chiefs. Well, that game becomes pretty interesting now that no Rodgers. So the Chiefs try to climb back to the top. You got the Chargers going up against the Eagles. If you're the Broncos and the Raiders and Giants, if you're the Broncos, you're looking at it going, what gives, man? These guys all have easy matchups or a Rodgerless Packers team. So it could be a rough weekend if you're looking at the other side of the West.
Unfortunately, Brady, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a pretty rough weekend. I think the Broncos get blown out, unfortunately. I think the other three AFC teams win this week. And for the first time on Sunday night, I think we're looking at the Broncos dead last in the AFC West with no other companions around them because, of course, they have not been dead last. They're tied right now with the Chiefs for last. But I do think the Raiders win. I do think the Chargers win. And now I definitely think the Chiefs take care of business.
Well, it could be tough. It could get a lot worse before it tries to get any better. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend. What are you working on that we can check out the next couple of days?
Just how the Broncos pull off this victory. And Brady, one thing I forgot to mention, if the Broncos are going to win, they got to have a similar performance to what they did to Zeke Elliott last time they played him back in 2017 when they held him to 8 rushing yards on 9 attempts, less than 1 yard per carry. Now, obviously, they don't have to be that dominant, but get closer to that 60 yards per game that the Bucs held Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys rushing attack to. Just don't let them get anywhere close to 100 or over 100, or else it's going to be a long, long day.
Got to find a way to slow that rushing attack down. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll let you get back out into practice.
Right on, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, he's our Broncos insider. I mean, he doesn't get much more insider-y than that. He is out at Broncos practice, giving us the rundown. And Malik Reed not practicing today. That's supposed to be the guy to take over for Von Miller. So that was that. I mean, it just keeps the hits just keep coming for the Broncos. Do want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Our game beer of the week is from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a vanilla porter. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. They got the free Friday tasting going on today. Estate Brands, they're on hand from 4 to 6 o'clock. Try some of their delicious wines and other beverages. Check out our friends at On the Rocks Liquor. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's get to I'll glance at the Nuggets. The Nuggets getting back at it this weekend. And, you know, the stress that is on Nikola Jokic, how long can it last? And when, I mean, it's a very young season, folks, but we're already looking at it going, how are they going to make it to Jamal Murray back day? I don't know until MPJ wakes up or Aaron Gordon wakes up, because I don't trust that Will Barton's going to be that consistent guy. So we'll talk about that coming up. Also, Broncos matchup, Cowboys. We got CSU taking on the Cowboys. A lot of football talk coming up at 1 o'clock as well. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country. He's just a common man.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks to No Limit Collectibles, they just moved. They are, you guys know where Cables, the Cables restaurant is in Greeley, and it's right across from Highland Park Lanes there, if you know where the bowling alley is. They just moved to that area. No Limit Collectibles, they're in Greeley now. Buy, sell, trade, there's no limit to what you can collect. Sports memorabilia, signed jerseys, signed shoes. They have Jordans. They're like crazy. Of course, basketball cards. Big into the basketball cards. So check out No Limit Collectibles. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. They're just getting that new location up and running. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. The Nuggets get back at it tomorrow. Nice that they've had a few days off. But they're sitting at that 4-4 record, going up against a Houston team that's, I think they're 1-7, 1-6, bad team right now. So you're looking at that situation thinking, all right, we got to get right here. Memphis, I think, is going to be a good team. You know, some of the teams that they've played so far have been pretty good. The losses, two losses, of course, to Memphis, losing to Utah, and a loss to Cleveland. That's not that great, but for the most part, Denver's had kind of a challenging start to the season, and it's going to be even more challenging if they cannot find a way to take some of the stress off of Nikola Jokic. Michael Malone talking about it, saying, hey, at this rate, I mean, he's not going to make it to Christmas if we keep having to play him like this. Remember the talk in the offseason, too, was that eventually Malone is going to do the whole, you know, the workload thing and just not play him for a couple of games. And they've already probably, I think they've already predetermined that. We don't know. But I believe they've just looked at the schedule, and they're like, all right, he's going to miss that game. We're going to take him out that game. They've just set it up that way. Boy, what's that going to look like whenever the Nuggets just start a game without the Joker? Not good, based on what we've seen so far. I mean, Malone talking about it yesterday on the clip that we shared, saying, hey, when he comes out, everything breaks down. Are the Nuggets too reliant on Nikola Jokic? Yes, and that's how the NBA goes sometimes. I get it. You're very reliant on your MVP-type player. The Nuggets kind of seem like they're beyond what I'm used to seeing as far as how dependent they are on Nikola Jokic. I mean, can you name another team? And I mean, look at the Bulls. The Bulls were when in the 90s were still, didn't they still go to the playoffs without Michael Jordan? Didn't they go to that first round, I think? They were still like a legitimate basketball team. Golden State without Klay Thompson. Well, they have Steph Curry. I mean, look at what Brooklyn's surviving without Kyrie Irving. I mean, they're 5-3. The Nuggets have put themselves in this, and I get it, without Jamal Murray, that's your other option, but the Nuggets are concerned about this contract. I know a lot of you guys were pissed off at me yesterday for asking this question about, hey, did the Nuggets make the right decision? I still think they did, but they're sweating right now. You don't think Tim Connelly's biting his nails every single game now waiting for Michael Porter Jr. to deliver? Because I know a lot of fanboys drive me crazy sometimes. You can call it like it is. It doesn't mean you're a bad fan. Call it like it is. Well, he's rebounding more. That ain't why you signed him. You did not sign Michael Porter Jr. so that he can swoop in and get rebounds. You didn't sign him for that. Aaron Gordon's more of that guy. You didn't sign Aaron Gordon necessarily for his point production. You signed MPJ for what he should be able to do from the three-point line, and you're hoping that he becomes more of a scorer. And I do think that it's a worthwhile question. I think you're right, Angel. You're going to probably give him the month here before you really start to panic. What does that mean? That doesn't necessarily mean anything. Because if you give him a month and then you panic, who's taking him? You're not trading away that contract. You're in no rush. No teams will be in any rush to do that because you're watching the film. I don't get MPJ. I'll tell you what. He's entertaining. He has been the most entertaining Nugget. Just because you never know what to expect. He's such a bizarre player. Some nights, it's like it looks like he's going to break. Like he picks up the basketball and he doesn't pick it up with aggression and he gets it knocked out of his hands. And then some nights you go, whoa, there it is. That's the MPJ. That's the guy. What is it? And I brought this up at the beginning of the season. Do you think he's thinking too much? He's too into playing. Oh, I got to figure out what to do on defense. I got to be crashing the boards, thinking about rebounding. I need to pass off and get some assists and move the ball around more.
I could see that. You know, when you watch a game, you can kind of tell from body language for certain players as the game goes on. And you can kind of see Michael looks, I guess, frustrated, or maybe that he feels like he should be making all of the plays and he's not. And that's kind of, he's like beating himself up on it, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that I've been following here with our friends Harrison and Katie, the new basketball that they're using.
Mm.
They asked Coach Malone about it, and he said it takes probably about 2 to 3 months for the guys to get used to the new ball.
And I know some people might like poo-poo that, but I shared a stat from NBA, I think it was NBA Central. Three-point shooting is down across the league, and I guess that's the saving grace for MPJ, is to say, well, it's not just Porter. It's happening all over the league right now.
Oh, even Bones Highland said today that the ball felt weird to him. It said it's going to take a while to get used to it. So that's a minor excuse, I guess, if you want to say it. But it's an important thing, the thing that they play with and they score with. If it doesn't feel right in your hands, it's going to take time to get used to it.
Yeah, it was Hoop Central, Angel, that shared this. The worst three-point percentage shooting through the first 7 games in NBA history. So the ball thing makes total sense.
I think it's a valid thing that people may not be looking at right now.
I think you're right. Normally, I would go, come on, if I wasn't seeing everybody else do it. Damian Lillard's is down. He's shooting 23% from the three-point line. James Harden shooting 24%. He was shooting 24%. I mean, it's down right now. Totally down through the course of this thing. I mean, the worst was, I think, a few years ago, it was collectively like 25%. And now the percentage is 23.1%. That's what three-point shooting. It's a minimum of 65 three-point field goals attempted. So the worst, I'm looking here, it was 2015. The three-point shooting percentage was at 24% through the first 7 games. The 23 is definitely the worst. And beyond that, it was 25, then 28.8, 29.2. They've only had the one season of shooting 24%. That was 2015. I don't know if they changed balls then, too, or what. But that does make me feel a little bit better, actually, about MPJ. Because you're looking at it saying, well, these percentages are like that throughout the league. It's not just MPJ. But what gets me back to worrying is his overall game. Okay, you're not making threes. Are we? He has the athletic ability to drive to the rim.
No, and you've seen it these last couple games. Every now and again, he'll get a good rebound or a fast break, and he can get in the paint and either get a foul or make the easy layup.
Yeah, yeah, no question. He can. He has that ability to do that. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I want to shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. That means something. That means they're local. That means they may not know you, but they're local and they understand it and they can be there for you guys in such a difficult time. They do believe the simple motto, live well, but plan ahead. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, 970-330-6824. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. When we come back, let's start looking at the busy, busy weekend. The UNC Bears only have two games left. Why in the hell, Angel? Maybe you can answer this on the other side. Do they have a bye next week? And then they have their final game of the season. Makes zero sense. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm not a one-man band, Angel. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass, who's just done a phenomenal job keeping me on track. Kind of. No, actually, dude, you've been fantastic. It's your, what, third week on the whole show gig?
I've lost track since I got here.
It feels like it's 20 years, doesn't it?
I feel like we've done like 500 shows already.
People say
I'm running out of ideas for Thursday night specials.
I think you're gonna be fine.
We'll be fine.
You're gonna come up with some new stuff, man. It's okay. We're gonna be getting there throughout the court. But you've done fantastic. The Hooligans are in. They've accepted you as one of their own. I don't know if we're going to hit the over-under for the Den mentions today. We're still at 2, I think, right now. So, yeah, you're confident? You think we'll get there? I think we'll get there, too.
Yeah, Football Friday coming up, Brady.
Football Friday. All right, Angel. My picks, you said, and I'm taking this seriously, you said if I'm like 6 or 7 games over 500 to end this out, then I'll be pretty good. So I'm sitting at 18-17. I'm looking to pull away. This weekend, I went 500 last week. Air Force didn't play.
Didn't you say this last week?
Yeah, and I didn't make any movement at all. But I was a point and a half from having a winning record and going 3-1 last week. So we're gonna be better. We're ready for it. Picks are coming up at the end of the Football Friday show today, so you don't want to miss that. Is Aaron Rodgers digging more and more of a hole? He was on the Pat McAfee show, and people are all after Joe Rogan right now for some reason. Well, Rodgers said he's taking a page from Rogan's book, so we'll talk about that in the second hour. It's Football Friday coming up next.